Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we've been working on your financial freedom for 35 years, believe it or not. 35 years we've been working at helping you create passive streams of income in your life. That's it. How much do you need? Good question. And today we have a guest here on the Tell Del Tuesday show that's somebody's out there helping you figure that out. With us here today is Justin Bennett. Justin is one of not only our members and a real estate investor, multifamily investor, he's also taking on the task of teaching the classes that we offer. So you'll be able to get to meet him personally. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Why don't you start by telling everybody a little bit about your background? Where'd you come from? How'd you get involved in real estate in the first place? What did you do before that? And then work your way into how you found us.
Yeah, so I joined Lifestyles June of 2020, in the height of COVID. But prior to that, I kind of was all over the place. Well, it was a W-2 job to start after college. Decided I wanted to go into business for myself. Fell into some traps and that didn't quite work like I thought it would. So ended up getting divorced and moving, went back to corporate world, had jobs with big companies like AT&T and 3M. And again, the hype wasn't what it was.
Justin, what kind of work did you do? You said you had jobs.
So I was in sales, and then from there I went into business for myself, and we started flipping houses, and so I got back out of the corporate world and back into construction and real estate. This was in about 2013 when we started all of this, we were cruising along. I'd done some different programs, figured out how to flip houses on a mass scale, and thought everything was great. But then everybody started overpaying for everything, so the profits disappeared. So I thought, you know what, this isn't the right way. I'm going to figure this out on my own. I started building a single-family rental portfolio, and that was great, except for, we weren't really making the money I thought I should be. And I knew there had to be a better way. So I decided to turn to the VRBO business and went out and bought a bunch of lakefront properties that had, docks on the water.
What does VRBO stand for, so people that don't know can follow what you're saying?
It's the same thing as Airbnb, except for it's vacation rental by owner. It's typically you get the whole property and don't have to worry about sharing rooms with anybody or different things, and that was kind of our business model and what it fits. So it was awesome. We were making about $1,000 a night on four properties across Lake of the Ozarks, until there started to be maintenance issues at the end of every rental, and problems occurred every night, and somebody needed something every day. We provided boats and jet skis with our rentals, which allowed us to charge $1,000 a night. And once they started sinking the boats and jet skis, we decided to...
You've never told me this part of the story. That's hilarious.
That is what scared us out of the VRBO business. So we said, nope, not this. In the meantime, I had made some connections with some attorneys from California who wanted to get in real estate. And I said, all right, we'll go find something in our market. And this made our buying power a little bit larger. So we always knew I wanted to get into apartment investing, and went out and found a 49-unit apartment deal, and decided to tackle it. And we made about $1 million in equity in 14 months. And this was just kind of on our own, figuring stuff out, knowing it was a good deal. And I decided this is the space I wanted to live in. And so we hung up all the rest of our hats and decided to focus strictly on multifamily. Along the ways, I joined a few different groups and learned how to do real estate, how to invest, how to raise funds, different things, and thought I knew I could do it by myself and figure it out with the bits and pieces I had from everywhere. So we were going along and kind of learning by trial, and trial and error. And all of a sudden, I meet a gentleman who wanted to invest in an apartment complexes through one of these other communities. And he came to our market and said, "Hey, I think I want to buy some apartments here." And I was like, "Which ones are you going to buy?" And he's like, "Well, I think," he looked at two different properties, and he's like, "I think I'm going to buy them both. And will you guys do the construction for me?" So I was like, yeah, we can do that. Our crew, we had just finished our remodel. So we took on those projects and turned them for him. And his business plan was to sell those. So he sold those, and he went out and bought another one before he was even done with those, as far as the sales part of it. And so finally I asked, I was like, "Hey, how are you doing this?" You know, I knew who he was. I knew what he did. And I was like, surely he didn't have this much money set aside. And so he introduced me to Lifestyles, and it was, like I said, it was right during COVID. So I joined one of the financial freedom programs. I took one of the 4-day online seminars and sat through it. And I was like, wow, there's actually a path to do this, streamline this and make it, repeatable. And, there's people that actually want to invest in these deals that don't want to do the day-to-day stuff of this. And so I said, I think I'm going to join this and figure out how to do everything I'm doing, but do it better, do it right, more efficient. And that's why I'm here.
Wow. You just said a lot. And if I could take and deconstruct that entire conversation, I could go back and make an entire radio show out of about 4 of those things, right?
Absolutely.
That people could learn from. And I think we will go back and touch base on it, because we've had you on before. We might as well get a little deeper into detail. I think there's a lot to learn there for people that could get something out of this situation. Quite the entrepreneurial story, obviously. You're a strong entrepreneur. You want to do stuff on your own. It's obvious from the conversation. That's interesting. Let's go back, if we could. Now, remember, one of the things about being a teacher is that, we're going to get out there and give them the stuff they should do. But that ability to be able to have that empathy in your gut, Justin, when they say, "Well, I'm going to go do this," and you go, "Hold on a second. Here's a little backside to the story. I did that, and I was not happy with that." That's what we're really looking for right here, Justin, is to try to get some of that backstory out of you, if I can squeeze it out of you. Nobody wants to talk about what they're not interested in anymore. You always want to talk about what you are now interested in. But I think there's a lot to go by the fact that here you are. You're a very smart, very entrepreneurially based individual that wanted something. And you were looking and you were grasping at all the ideas, the thousands of real estate ideas out there. And you picked and chose the ones you thought would work, and you went after them. And then you changed and did something else, and then changed and did something else. So there's something to be learned. Let's start with the flipping. What was it about the flipping? You did it. You said you were successful at it. And then you stopped doing it. What made you step away from that approach?
Yeah, so back in the day, kind of same thing. Heard about a program that was going through town and teaching you how to do real estate on a mass scale and how to really tackle multiple projects at once and the systems to use and whatnot. And so it was like, we had already started to do a bunch of remodels for other people. And I was like, you know what, let's figure out how to do this ourselves. So I went to the seminar, love education, love learning stuff, and figured out how to do it.
You're leaving something out there. And because you're a teacher now, I've got to push on you a little bit to hear this. They have no idea how you could just be out there constructing stuff for people. How did you say, "We're out here doing all this construction and renovation"? You haven't given that to us in your background. When I asked what your background was, you said sales. That has nothing to do with construction and renovation. You've skipped over something so big that if I were in your seminar right now, Justin, I'd be going, "What's he talking about? How do you start remodeling all these houses? Can I just remodel houses? Can I do it? Can I go on the radio? Can I go out there and do construction?" So how do you get to that point where you've got a crew? You're talking about having a crew.
Yeah. So when I was doing the sales job with 3M, I was going around and I was teaching people how to basically polish and grind, diamond grind these, all this concrete, marble, and terrazzo floors. All the floors you walk into a mall or a hospital, it's really shiny.
That's neat stuff. I've done that. I actually had a whole apartment complex that was built in the 60s, had terrazzo floors in every unit. And we had a guy like you come in and clean them all up. It was beautiful.
Yeah. So So we used to do that. And growing up, I had a construction background. I grew up in a family that we didn't pay anybody to do anything. So if we had a plumbing issue, we fixed it. If we had a roof that needed fixed, we fixed the roof. If anything we needed to do, we did. So I had a little bit of construction knowledge growing up as is. And then when 3M decided, they wanted to change their metrics and not pay me the bonuses that I was due, and change the everything last minute, I decided I'm going to go out and do this on my own. So I started this company with a business partner that was a contractor, and we started going and doing these floors all over the country. And when we decided we can make as much money as we were doing these floors, staying at home and letting everybody sleep in their own beds and not having a ton of overhead costs, we decided to go ahead and start our own construction, renovation, remodel business on the side. So we had at the time 13 employees with our floor company, and we said, let's just turn it into a construction company. And so that's the crew. When I reference my crew, we shifted gears, and everybody had enough knowledge, and everybody was willing to learn enough and had enough skill to do everything we were doing. We started with floors, then we went into kitchens and would replace cabinets and counters, and then it turned into bathrooms, and then it turned into whole houses. So
were those guys on payroll, Justin? Did you have to pay them no matter what?
Those guys were, yes. Those guys were.
So you had to have jobs lined up to keep it busy then, right?
Yes. That's why we had to figure out how to do it on a mass scale.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you. I just want everybody out there to understand how complicated what you were doing is, although you blow by it like it's nothing. Running a business like that, a construction company, is very complicated.
Yes, and so that's part of the reason we went into it, was because, like I said, we were making good money doing the floors. We were doing them all over the country, from Miami, Florida, to Denver, Colorado, New Orleans, everywhere in between. But, when you're doing big jobs like that, and I was running the crew, I was, working all night and then meeting with the companies we were doing the work for during the day, I had no time to sell. And so I wouldn't get to sell the next job until we got home, and sometimes that would take months. So I've got all these guys, they're happy, they get a little bit of vacation, but they're bored and they want to work. So that's when we started working with my business partner and his construction business, doing some of the side jobs, which led to it all. But moral of the story is, when we first got into the flipping business, stuff was great. There was a lot of money. We were making, $50,000 to $100,000 on a flip. And that was great because, like Dale said, I had to pay overhead. I had to pay payroll. I had to pay bonuses. I had to pay for all the materials. And life was good. We were making a quick buck, and I thought everything was what I wanted. And then, you see the TV shows, and it started creating the HGTV heroes who could do it themselves. And they didn't know how to buy. They didn't know how, it's not how it really goes. And sometimes they'll show that, the margins get slim, but a lot of times people were losing money. And when they're losing money because they're not paying enough for a property, it affects someone like me that's trying to do it for a full-time gig. And so when it started to get to the point where, used to, I could make 10 offers and get a deal, and I could just keep doing that because my crews are running the flips. But when it got to the point where I made 25 offers and didn't get a single deal, I decided we needed to shift gears. And so that's when we started building the rental portfolio instead of flipping houses at that point, because I could still buy a deal that made sense to collect rent on for years, but I couldn't buy a deal to make enough money to make it make sense on a flip.
Thank you for that. That's very informative. Let's move on to then the rentals. You started doing those. And my thought would have been, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth that's unsanitary, but my thought would have been is that you start trying to supplement, thinking, hey, if I've got enough rentals over here, at least I've got some money coming in to cover the overhead when we don't have the flips out there. That's just my thought. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Justin Bennett and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Justin Bennett, a real estate investor for many years, but recently joined Lifestyles and has taken on the task of being one of our educators that teaches the two-day class, and we're really happy to have him with us. I've been working with him here to try to sort out his story a little bit because he's got so much history. I want everybody to have a good understanding of what he's working with when he came in here because, you know, he's relatively new as a Lifestyles member. So, Justin, you went into the rentals, and I had made a statement right before the break that was just an opinion, and that I felt that I guess the theory I would have had in your position is, okay, if the flipping's getting tougher, we pick up the rentals, at least we've got some stability money coming in on a regular basis that can cover the overhead. If you got all these people you got to take care of and all this business you got to run. Is that why you started it, or did you literally think you were going to be able to live off rentals?
I found plenty of stuff to keep my crew busy with my other partner and his construction business as well. So I kind of shifted because the flipping, the profits weren't there. And so that's, Every time I talk about single family rentals within the 2 day, you know, when I joined Lifestyles, I was already strictly multifamily focused, so I didn't utilize a lot of the single family education, but I've obviously since understood it. I've looked at it, I teach it, and the way Lifestyles teaches it is so much different than how I went out about it on my own. And so in the commercial there, you hear talking about the best product, best price, best people. And that's something I didn't understand or implement into my business. And so as I'm teaching this 2 day and I'm having to tell everybody about my experience, exactly what I just shared with the radio show here is, you know, when I talk about putting together a portfolio of 80 rentals and single family, anyone in Lifestyles that has been a single family investor or IRO, they probably are retired off of 80 single family rentals. They probably are only passively investing in deals that they want to invest in and have all the money they want at this point. And that was not my experience. I did not have the roadmap to success when it came to the single family portfolio. When I purchased properties.
Let's parcel a little bit of this out here for a second. First of all, first question I would have is, were you the sole owners of those, or were you syndicating that out to other people too?
Nope. I was sole owners of the single family properties.
Okay. So that's a lot of houses that did not be happy with the income. What kinds of mistakes, and if you don't want to call them mistakes, what kinds of things did you learn at Lifestyles that would have made that more profitable?
Yes. So ultimately, the mistakes I made was I was not necessarily interested in the property or what it could be or forward thinking. I was interested in how cheap was the deal, how many houses I could buy as quickly as possible, what the hard money lender would give me in the situation. So I was trying to get everything I could for 10% down because my experience and everything, I had borrowed hard money to do a lot of the flips. And so they would also give me the money to do the rentals. And my thought was get in them with as little down and then make them worth some more once I have a renter and be able to refinance them and pull money out. So I was thinking I was going to do all these with no money in and they were going to start paying me. Now, I put my crew to work so I didn't have the overhead elsewhere. And so I was looking for properties that I didn't have to do much work to, where I could go in and paint a few rooms, replace carpet, something along those lines, and get a renter in. And that's all I was doing. I was lipsticking a pig every single time, 80 times over. And what I found out real fast was when you're not going in, that Lifestyles teaches, we go in when we buy something and we fix everything from day one, and for multiple reasons, but obviously it allows us to give the best product at the best price. I dealt with, now I have 80 properties spread out across a 30-mile radius that are getting maintenance calls almost every single day. And so I was having to pull my crew off other jobs to come help me with maintenance, or I was having to drive all over to fix issues. But also, it wasn't just small issues. When I have a condensing unit go out, that's a couple thousand dollars. And this is a property that I'm only cash flowing a couple hundred dollars a month. So you can tell real fast how that worked, was my profits for the entire year were ate up at every single house on basically the deferred maintenance that I should have fixed up front, and I should have built into the loan, and I should have worried more about those things on the front side of stuff. And so I would tell you that 100% everything I did within single family were mistakes. And when I teach the 2-day and I talk about how you're supposed to do it with the 35 years of best practices from Lifestyles and the roadmap we provide now, I would have made so much money on the 80 houses because they were great houses. I just didn't buy them right, and I didn't fix them up from day one, because if I did that, I would have had tenants that stayed longer. I would have had, lower make-ready costs. I would have had lower deferred maintenance throughout the life of the portfolio. And ultimately, when I ended up selling them all, I barely got a little bit more than the original investment I had in them, and I had them for years. So that was tough. It makes the ROI disappear in a hurry. And so, seeing what 5 houses can do with the Lifestyles model now, you can turn a normal size investment into $1 million in about 10 years with 5 houses. I had 80 and I got nowhere near that. So, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. It's really interesting because to me, as I'm loving this story, because it's perfect example of you can do the right thing in life, but do it the wrong way. You were doing the right thing. You just did it the wrong way. Question, were you looking for captured equity at all when you did these?
It wasn't important to me. I was worried more about cash flow and how small of a down payment I could get into. I was investing in good markets that I thought the houses would just automatically appreciate. And if I held them for long enough, I'd make a bunch of money. And again, it just didn't happen because I didn't put the money in
It's interesting how the operational side can take you down. Like you said, one $10,000 air conditioner wipes out a lot of $200 a month positive cash flows. But if you put all that stuff in brand new, then you don't have any of those problems. Well, that's a great story. So you did rentals for a while, but then you saw that wasn't working the way you wanted it to work. And then you went into the first multifamily. Is that what the next thing? No,
thing I did was the VRBOs. So I can make
tell us a little bit about that, because we know nothing about that on this side of the world.
Yeah, so same thing as a single family portfolio, basically, except for instead of a long-term renter, you have a nightly renter. And so what we did is we went out and we found, this was back in the day when the show Ozark was really big. And so we went to Lake of the Ozarks, and they were going to build the Margaritaville, and a lot of things were happening in that market. And we decided, let's take advantage of all the popularity that this place is gaining, even though the show, the Ozarks, was not even filmed in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, filmed down in Georgia. Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri was benefiting from it. So we went out and we found 4, and this was my first syndication experience with a syndication through one of the other communities that I had joined. And we bought 4 lakefront properties that all had the docks. We had, like I said, we added the boats and jet skis, so people would, bring in their families and rent out for the weekend, through the summers. So we made more money, in 4 months of the year than any single, than most of my single families added up together would make. So you rent it out, they might bring 20 people and stay in your 5-bedroom house and have a huge party and go sink your boat and all those things. And so the lake being 3.5 hours away from where I lived, made it very difficult to get back and forth to small items. And so I ended up spending most of my summers down there, not focusing on the work I wanted to do or the single family investing or really growing my portfolio on its own, because I was too busy with maintenance costs and tenant communications and having to, fix problems every time somebody was in and out. And this was multiple times a week. So,
wow.
Great income, extremely bad business plan.
Got it. So after that, you went and tried the did your first apartment?
Yeah. So during that time, that's when I had been introduced to a few of the attorney partners that I did my first apartment with, and it was great.
So how many deals did you get done, and how did you get them done? What was important when you got here as to what you were doing here that was different than what you did before?
So the cool part about what I did here versus before was, like I said, the first deal I did was with four attorney partners from California who heard about real estate through who knows where, but decided that was the hot thing to invest in. And so I got lucky and blessed with them as my partners on my first deal. And after that, when we were able to increase the value, they decided there was another investment that, ironically enough, in California, they were going to get some return on investment if they invested in movies. So they wanted their money out. I was able to buy them out of the deal, and they went and invested in movies. So they weren't going to come back and do another real estate investment. I had a bunch of money from this deal, so I knew I could go do some other deals on my own. But in order to do a sizable deal, it was going to take me time to save some money. And that's why I said, watching the other LU lead go out and do a couple deals, I was like, well, how are you doing multiple deals at once? And you know, it made sense once he introduced me to Lifestyles. And I think joining Lifestyles really allowed me to scale and grow at a pace that made sense, not too quickly, but faster than I would ever be able to do on my own. And so, and on top of that, operationally, analytically, on the buy side, it opened my world to a different way to look at real estate, to look at multifamily, and to how to treat the investors in a deal. Before that, it was just kind of self-taught, because I learned how to syndicate a deal, but it was from another gas and oil investment is how I learned about syndications. And so the roadmap that's provided through Lifestyles, number one, it allows you to go after deals that you wouldn't be able to go do on your own. But number two, currently I have three deals inside of Lifestyles. The other ones are all small IROs that I had previously, or another one last syndication I had from another group. But it on top of learning how to analyze and purchase the properties better, you learn how to operate them better. And when I bought my first property, I thought I had it all figured out already with OU. And my mentor and me butted heads for the longest time, because she was trying to teach me the right way to do it, and how, you know, hey, these white papers are in place for a reason. These are guidelines that we're following for a reason. This is how we do it. And I tried to, you know, butt heads and say, but I've got this figured out. We've been doing this for a few years now, and we have to do it this way. And finally, I decided, you know what, I should try this. I think she knows what she's talking about. She's done this a lot more than me. And we implemented the best practices from Lifestyles, and our business has been on autopilot ever since. I was worried about my staff after the construction company and after our first 49-unit deal, and being very frustrated with our management company. We decided to start our own management company. And I was worried about our staff there, you know, not taking the changes very, very willingly, and getting a lot of pushback from the staff, and they love it now, and their job's actually easier. So on top of, you know, teaching you how they teach how to buy and how to run, they also teach you how to operate along the way. We have operations consultants, and I'm on my third deal. Like Dale said, I've got 10 different complexes. I have a management company. I have construction. I don't lack the experience. But I know there's things out there that I don't know, that I haven't ran into. And the team that's provided by Lifestyles through the operations consultants and mentors has seen it all. And so I still rely on them on a monthly basis for things that come up that I haven't experienced or my son hasn't experienced. And that's another beautiful thing is what it's done for our family and how it's changed our family. But in our three deals, you know, every single one of them has allowed me to use the resources and the community to raise the funds to purchase them. But the white paper protects our investors, and it also provides us assurances that our investors know what they're doing. Because of my other syndications, I would get calls that were outrageous. I mean, I would have calls from people that wanted to know if we had painted the door in the vacant unit and what color we decided to paint it, or have we replaced the window screen that was, you know, a tenant was complaining about. And it was the craziest stuff. And because the investors, not just the leads in Lifestyles, are educated, but the investors are educated, it makes our job easier as a lead to do what we're supposed to do and focus on what we need to ensure the overall success of our deals. So it's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful community and beautiful life cycle of wherever you started at and wherever you want to go.
All right, two more things, and we only got a minute and a half to get it out here. One is, when's the next place you teach?
I'm coming to Houston in November, I believe, and then Dallas in December, I think.
Okay, and the last one, your son has now, I think, set the record. We have a young entrepreneurs group here of young kids in their 20s that are buying apartment complexes. I think your son just took over number one position, youngest kid to actually syndicate a deal. How old was he when he syndicated his first deal?
So he was 20 on his first deal, and he just in February bought his second deal at 21.
Wow. That's got to make you proud, huh?
Very proud, because prior to that, he wanted nothing to do with real estate. He was tired of house flipping and construction.
Oh, you wore him out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, those young guys, they're out there. They're aggressive, and it's fun to watch them. And they've got a little bit of a competitive edge to them, too, like who's going to do the most, the quickest, and the best. So it's good stuff. Well, Justin, I really appreciate you coming on today, and I really enjoy having you on the team. I look forward to seeing some of your work and some of your success stories for the people that you're helping out there. Thank you very much for coming on. And the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just the money. As Justin brought up, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.